Amen. Certainly good to see you one this morning.
Appreciate the song service. Enjoyed singing much. We have come into this house this morning. We are gathered in His name to worship Him, to honor, to ascribe the glory and honor that is due unto His name. His name is honored. His name is esteemed, whether we do it or not. But I pray that God would bless us to ascribe, to give, to pledge for ourselves in honor and praise unto Him this morning. This is that which God has so designed. I think about the expression there in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, where after Noah had built the ark that God had instructed him along with his sons. And then God said unto Noah, He said to him, "Come thou and thy house into the ark." That was the place that God had provided for their providential care, for God to take care of them, for they were the apple of God's eye. They were the focus. They were the center of attention, for Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that was the place that God had instructed and had given and blessed them to build, where God would house them and protect them. We sang up that song this morning about dwelling in beautiful land. The whole time we were singing those words, I was thinking, you know, this is a spiritual experience. It's all language dealing. It's a spiritual experience to dwell in beautiful land. If you're living on the top of the mountain, if underneath a cloud in the sky, that's living and walking in the Spirit.
That's it.
You know that whole song. Next time we sing about it, sing those words, you think about it in that way, that is a spiritual experience.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's what we've been trying to speak upon for the last few Sundays. And that went back unto and had its origin there in the text some weeks ago that we took, where Jesus said to Satan, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." This morning I want to turn to the 32nd Psalm, and I want to read, there's 11 verses in this 32nd Psalm, and the Lord being our helper, I'm going to read these 11 verses without stopping. Psalm 32. And I want you to think about these words as we read this. Now the thought is still in the line with what we've been trying to preach on these last weeks. And it's verse 8. Verse 8 is kindly nearly in the middle. There's a little more before, not as much after, but it's kindly in the middle of this psalm. But I'll read these 11 verses. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old, though my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. I want you to notice that. Upright in heart. In heart. You know, the scripture says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He has said this in his seat of affection. He has said it in his heart. You know, there may be times that children of God, born again children of God, may have such trouble and such woe and such despair in this life that there could be darkest of midnight hours when there could even be the thought to go through their mind, there must not be a God. God must not be real. But that is coming through their mind. That is being generated from the sin nature. It is not coming forth from their heart. It is not in their heart. The fool has said in his heart. It is the wicked that say in their heart, there is no God. Now I want you to try to meditate upon that and think about that in that sense. All ye that are upright in heart. We're never upright in this flesh nature. We are never totally upright in our practice, in our thoughts, in our meditations, and in our doings, in our steps that we take here in this life. But God's born again people are upright in heart. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen. I hope you can see that distinction and that difference there. The scripture teaches us in many places of being upright in practice. It has that's the thought that it is giving us in the context of it, that we should walk uprightly. And the only individuals that will ever be able to walk by faith and to have good works of faith and to walk uprightly are those that God have made upright in the heart. I believe that is rightly dividing the word of truth. But as I said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was the apple of God's eye at that period of time right there, at that distinct period of time. God's focus, Noah and his family, and they were, his family, his sons, was riding Noah's coattail, if you please.
Yeah.
I've often said God's children are going to enter heaven in mortal glory on the coattail of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you understand that symbolic language. But notice here in verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. This is living right here in this life. This is in a practical way. God says, I will instruct thee. What is he saying? I will cause thee to understand. God's instructions by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God's instructions, God's instruction from his word, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And what is the scriptures profitable for? They're profitable unto us. They are a benefit. They are a great help unto us. Such a great benefit that they are to instruct us in righteousness. Of course, doctrine, reproof, and correction. But instruction in righteousness. Now, to understand the instruction, we've got to understand it. We've got to comprehend it. We've got to be able to realize what the Scripture is teaching us. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's the hard part to do. So sometimes it's where the rubber certainly meets the road. But God has always given instructions to and for his people. From the very beginning, from the morning of time, God gave instructions and they've always been for benefit.
Yeah.
They've been for benefit. They've been for benefit not to earn a home in heaven, immortal glory. It wasn't for Adam's benefit to earn a home in heaven, immortal glory, to obey God and not to eat that fruit of that tree there in the midst of a garden of knowing good and evil as God had instructed not to eat of it. But it was of his benefit to get along and to live in that garden in peace and in fellowship with God. God gave him the instruction. God has instructed his people all the way through and all the way down through time. We have great instruction. Amen. From the greatest one, from the greatest lawgiver. Moses is not the greatest lawgiver. The greatest lawgiver is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Moses was a lawgiver. It came through God and came through Moses. And Moses is spoken of in that sense. The law came by Moses. It was from God, but it came through Moses. Moses gave instructions to the children of Israel. Matter of fact, they told Moses, we don't want to hear from God face to face. You, in other words, stand before God and speak with God. And whatever God wants us to know, what God wants to tell us, he tells you. And then you come tell us. We don't want that experience. It was too awesome. It was of such they were terribly, terribly afraid. But God gave the greatest lawgiver and the greatest one to teach instruction. And that was his son, the very son of God. The expressions, and many months ago, I brought this verse in. But it was in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. The Son of God hath given us an understanding. He has given us instruction. And we understand the things of God through the instructions, through the information, through the teaching, through the doctrine. That's what doctrine is. Doctrine is teaching. That's what the very word means. I've always tried to stress and make the point there in Acts chapter 2, where I believe along about verse 42, where it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That it wasn't a doctrine And that word there means teaching. It means instructions. It's the principle, the teaching, and the instruction of it. But it wasn't in and of them. It did not originate with them. It wasn't original to the disciples. It originated and was original with the chief apostle. And who is the chief apostle? Hebrews tells us that that is our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is our chief apostle. He is the very head apostle. He's the one that the other apostles received their doctrine from, received their instructions, received their commandments from. He gave them commandments for 3.5 years. He gave them instructions. He gave them commandments. They were in his school for 3.5 years. Now I know that the scripture says, I believe it's in the it's either in the first chapter of Acts or maybe it's in Luke 24. Both places is an accounting of where the Lord is leading them out, and he leads them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifts up his hands, he blesses them. But it says, after he had given them commandments. Now, what he was doing was just reiterating. It wasn't that he was just at that time giving them commandments. He had been giving them commandments. He had been giving them instructions. He had been giving them teachings for 3.5 years. They had been at his feet. They had heard his teaching. They had heard the parables. They had heard the things that the Lord instructed and taught them concerning the kingdom of heaven, concerning Jesus Christ as King of kings and Lord of lords, concerning the natural nation of Israel, concerning spiritual Israel, concerning the very hub, the very center of the kingdom of heaven, which is the gospel church, the church that Jesus built. Amen, here upon this earth, and that he is actually the first baptized member of. Amen, if you want to just get down to split hairs. Amen, he is the first, he is the head of it, and he certainly was baptized. All right, so we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus is eternal life, but to know him is eternal life. To know him with the heart, in the heart, in that born-again experience, to know him. But then there is that practical knowing. There is that knowing through teaching. There is that knowing through instruction. And brothers and sisters, we understand that comes through the ministry of the Word of God. It comes through ministers. It comes through the Word. It comes by the Spirit. Leading. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way. In the way. Thank God there are many thorny providences that will hedge us in, that will teach us by thorny providences to hedge us in and to lead us in a certain direction, in a certain way. But the ministry of the Word, this is what the ministry of the Word is for. It is for the equipping of the saints. It's for the edifying of the saints. But it's for the equipping, it's for the teaching of the saints of God. That we will learn, that we'll be instructed, that he will teach us in the way. He didn't say teach us the way, but teach us in the way. While we're in this way, you've got to be in the Spirit. You've got to be in the way of fellowshipping with God to have benefit from the teaching of the Scripture, from the teaching of God. You know, we have to prepare our hearts and minds. We have to season with prayer and sacrifice to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. To present ourselves at the appointed and appropriate time to come into the house of God, to sit under the sound of the gospel, to sit under the sound of instruction.
Yeah.
I tell you, anyone that don't think they need instruction, anyone that doesn't think that they need guidance, that they need teaching, they are certainly missing the mark, and they're in the vain way of thinking. And I will assure you that their life will prove out that very fact. That if they abhor, if they despise wisdom, if they despise instruction, if they despise admonition, their life will show it.
Yeah.
Their life will show it, because it'll be a life of disaster. It'll be a life all out of sync. That's gone sideways, if you please. And that is contrary to what thus saith the word of God. But I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. In the way that thou shalt go. There's a verse that's in the longest psalm, a very long psalm, 119. And this is verse 34, where, well, let's just back up to verse 33. Teach me, O Lord. This is a prayer in this part right here. Teach me, O Lord. Certainly that's a prayer we can pray. Teach me, O Lord. That's what we ought to pray. That should be our thought. Teach me, O Lord. Instruct me in the way. Be teachable. Be pliable. Be willing. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Oh, what a prayer. What an aim. What a bullseye. What a goal. A bullseye that we should shoot toward. What a target that we should aim at and shoot toward. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Yes, we're going to falter. We're going to misstep. We're going to make mistakes. But this should be our ambition, our goal, our focus. Our mindset should be, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding. To understand. You know, you can't operate a piece of machinery unless you understand that piece of machinery. You can't work on machinery, mechanics, and so forth unless you understand the working of it and how it works and what it takes for it to work. You can't work anything, whatever it is, without knowing the components of it, the ins and outs of it, to be successful in doing so. And even so with our life, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. What is it there in Philippians chapter 3 when the apostle admonishes the church at Philippi? He tells them, I'm absent from you as you've obeyed in my presence, even now in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How will you work out your salvation or your deliverances in a temporal, timely sense? That's what he's talking about. How will you work out your deliverances if you don't understand how to work them out? If you don't know how to work them out. And you'll only work them out with the power source, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, by his help, grace, and mercy. But you've got to know, and you'll only be able to work out righteousness if God's worked righteousness in. You'll only be able to work out holiness if God has worked holiness in. That's in regeneration. You'll only be able to work out love if God has worked love in you. I go to this text that says that he shed the love of God abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. When was that love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost? For it's the Holy Ghost that regenerates. It is by the Spirit. We believe in Spirit regeneration. By the divine will and purpose of God through the life-giving voice of the Son of God, all three offices in work, in effect, the three in one God, working each one in that design that God has so purposed and designed in the Godhead. But it's God that worketh in you both to do and to will. And I may have got them backwards, but it's to do, to will, or to will, to do, according to his good pleasure.
Yeah.
To do, that means the ability to do it. To will, that means the desire to do it.
Yeah.
So it's God that works the ability, and it's God that works the desire in you to do it. And you've got to know how to do it, what to do it, what to do, how to do, when to do. That all comes in through instruction.
Yeah.
That all comes in through understanding.
Right.
That all comes in through living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law.
Yeah.
We won't keep his law without understanding. Amen. We won't keep the statutes and the precepts. We won't. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Yeah.
If you love me, keep my commandments. That's a conditional statement. Manifesting the love of God. If you love me. And of course, if we love him, it'll be because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. You're able to love in with that agape love, it's because God has worked that agape love in you. We're not talking about any kind of natural from the sense of the element of love. We're talking about that spirit love, that which only God's born again people can love with. Now that's a love that is far more than anything that we can understand from a natural standpoint of love. Most of the folks in a natural standpoint of it, they're so far off base that what they think is love, it's lust. And they're just way off base. And all of the design of it and all the carrying on of it out here in the world is from that standpoint. But we can love each other in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can love the brethren. We are admonished to love our brothers and sisters. The scripture teaches us this, that we know that we have passed from death unto life if we love the brethren.
Yeah.
Amen. If we love, there's an evidence of grace.
Amen.
If we love one another in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an evidence of grace.
Amen.
It's an evidence that the Lord has worked a gracious work within us. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. I want to go just a little bit further on with this on understanding, and I want to then get more toward the guidance as the apple of his eye. But there in Proverbs chapter 4, let's start with verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Strive for understanding. Attend to it. Give attention to it. Pay attention. There again, this is deliberate. And you've heard me say it before. You're not going to stumble into this. You're not going to just accidentally fall into this. This is deliberate. This is with a very conscious and a conscientious effort to attend to no understanding. Strive for understanding. The Lord gives us a gift of understanding. And I believe that's along the same line with faith. That he gives unto every man the measure. That's everyone that he borns again in regeneration. There is the measure of faith that is given. There's a measure there. That measure can increase. That measure can show forth growth. It can multiply by exercise, by use, and so forth. It can be great faith.
Yes.
And we understand that. But I believe that there is in the heart, there is that ability to understand. If we attend to no understanding, if we apply ourselves to no understanding,
yes.
There again, we have to go to that prayer that I read there in Psalm 119. Teach me, O God. Teach me. Teach me to no understanding. We need God's help and God's grace. If we lack these things, we're told to ask of God. Ask of Him who giveth to every man liberally and upbraideth not. I believe there's that element that is given, just like an element of faith that is given. But many of God's people walk in a more fervent faith than other of God's children, because they're exercising it, they're using it, they're putting it to use. So many scriptures we could talk about exercise, where the scriptures teach us and admonish us to exercise our spiritual benefits that we have through that new birth, and to have fellowship with God. So he tells us to attend to no understanding, to know it, to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. For I give you good doctrine. I give you good instruction. I give you good teaching. Doctrine will always means teaching. Our articles of faith, our doctrine, they are our teachings from that theological standpoint. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. I want you to, for the sake of time, he said in verse 4, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Keep my commandments and live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Keep my commandments and live. What's he saying? And live. He's talking about live that abundant life.
Yes.
Live. Live a joyful, peaceful fellowship with God right here in this life as we live. And many individuals run to such a degree that they even lose their corporal life, their natural life, because of not attending to the commandments of God. I believe with all of my heart that Sister Marlene's, and forgive me for using a personal illustration, but her brother who died at the age of 44 or 46, but anyway, right there in his middle 40s, he died. He did not live because he did not keep the commandments of God, and brought woe and misery upon his life to even the taking of corporal life, because he forsook the commandments of God. He forsook the teachings of his father and mother that they taught him and instructed him from God's word. So the scripture says, keep my commandments and live. We want to live. And not live, yes, but not only live, but not only exist, but to live.
Yeah.
Amen. To live.
That's right.
Then it's by keeping the commandments of God. It's by keeping what His Word teaches us and having that understanding and applying it,
yes,
to enjoy life. I tell you, many folks have yielded and given up life,
right,
for pleasures of sin for a moment. The scripture teaches, and we read where Moses had said when he came of age, that he made a decision. He chose. He chose not the riches and the things of Egypt, but rather he chose to suffer the afflictions with God's people rather than the pleasures of this life for a season. Yeah. There's a choice there that we make in our lives. And many individuals for limited time and maybe even for spur of the moment time to enjoy pleasures or what they think is pleasures for just a short time, for a season, but it affects them all their life. I believe this is what this verse has in mind and what it's teaching us. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. In other words, keep my words, remember my words, do my words. You keep them. Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live.
Yeah.
Notice verse 5 there. Get wisdom.
Yeah.
Get understanding. Get it. Sick it, boy. Sick it. Amen. Get it. Be aggressive. Be aggressive in it. Take it violently. To get wisdom.
Yeah.
Be aggressive in the getting. Be aggressive in the getting of understanding. And forget it not. Keep on giving due diligence to it. Keep on being fervent with it. That's why you keep on reading God's law. That's why you keep on reading the scriptures. That's why you keep being reminded. Because we're prone to forget. This old flesh man wants the spirit man to forget the scriptures, those things, so that the flesh man, this goes back to what we've been trying to preach on, so that the flesh man can enjoy the pleasures of sin and the works of the flesh.
Yeah.
For they are pleasure for a season, but it's just a season, and it's over with the using. Oh, but we're talking about true riches. We're talking about the true riches. Oh, we're talking about the riches as it is in Christ Jesus. The great blessings that we have through obedience and being an obedient child unto our Heavenly Father. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. These are strong words. These are strong words. Jesus, the great blessings that we have through obedience and being an obedient child unto our Heavenly Father. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. These are strong words. These are strong words. Forsake her not. Using wisdom here in the sense, and this is what the her means. Forsake her not in this pronoun. Forsake her not. He's talking about wisdom, talking about understanding. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Wisdom will preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. In other words, the comparison of a faithful wife, a faithful helpmeet, a faithful companion. In this sense, let wisdom be your companion. Forsake her not, just like the scripture teaches us not to forsake our spouse. Husbands, not forsake your wife, but to attend to your wife, to love her, to cherish her, no matter what comes, no matter what goes. It's in the same sense here with wisdom.
Yeah.
It's in the same sense with wisdom. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Oh, what a great benefit a good wife is to a man.
Amen.
To her husband. What a great benefit she is. And that's what wisdom is to every one of us, male or female. This is the allegory. This is the symbolic language from that standpoint. This is the picture that is being portrayed, I believe. She shall preserve thee. I tell you, Sister Marlene has helped keep my feet on the ground a lot of times. Has helped me from erring a lot of times. From when I had mind made up to go in a certain direction, to do something far as in the way of this life. Nothing sinful or anything like that. I'm not talking about that. Amen. But far as just the decisions of life and directions, she has helped steady my feet and caused me to pause.
Yeah.
And to think it over again. She shall preserve thee. Wisdom will preserve you. Wisdom will keep you. We're talking about in a natural, in a temporal sense. We're talking about here in this life right now. But it's in a spiritual sense. And it's over into the natural realm also. It here. You know, it's good wisdom not to get in an automobile and to go flying around these curves out here in this road doing 100 to 120 miles an hour. I tell you, most likely you're going to find yourself with that automobile wrapped around a tree somewhere down there. Now that's not being wise. That's being foolish. Now let me go back to this. The fool has said in his heart. Now that doesn't mean that a child of God can't act foolishly. And it's in the same sense. I tell you that in the allegory, in the language that the Word of God uses, the Word of God illustrates and teaches us from the sense that the children of God are sheep and the wicked are goats. Yeah. Right? We understand that principle. And you can't make a sheep a goat, and you can't turn a goat into a sheep. In the natural, and you can't do it in the spiritual context.
No.
But I tell you what, many of God's sheep can and does act like goats.
Right.
They can act that way.
True.
You know, I made a statement last Sunday about, you know, not going out and acting like a wild ass. So I made that statement and all, and I got to, you know, thinking about maybe it's a little strong or whatever. But then I began to run several references and so forth and things, and I found out from the Word of God I was right in line.
Yeah.
Amen. God's people don't need to act that way. But sometimes we do act that way because we're not using wisdom. We're not using wisdom. Wisdom will keep us. Wisdom can preserve our life. You go out on a boat, you need to have a life jacket on or a float or something, or have one real close that you can get a hold of, especially if you can't swim, because you never know when that boat could capsize, could turn over, whatever, throw you into the water. And if you can't swim, someone might not get to you, and you could even get a cramp and you could go down. I tell you, you can drown in a split second or two. It don't take long sometimes. I know an old deacon brother. I stayed in his house several times down in South Alabama. He was on up in age. He even went through open heart surgery and all of that. But then he ended up going fishing and the boat turned over, him and his wife, and he drowned.
Yeah.
She couldn't get to him to save him. So we've got to use wisdom with everything. But this is more in line of walking in a way, keeping the Lord's commandments, that will preserve us and keep us and help us to stay in fellowship with God. When we don't use wisdom and we leave the Father's house, we're like that foolish prodigal son. He's still the son, but he's a foolish son. And he left. He's the father's son when he left home. He's the father's son while he's leaving. He's his father's son after he got down and wasted all that the father had given him of his inheritance. He was still the father's son when he divided with harlots. He's still his father's son in righteous living. He's still his father's son when he hungered and would have eaten the hog food.
Yeah.
He's his father's son when he came to himself. When he came to himself and realized and said, look, I'm out here starving to death, and my father's got servants back up there, and there's plenty to eat back up there at the father's house, and I'm down here perishing. I know now he's starting to think in a wise way. Here's what I need to do. I need to go back home, and I need to go back home confessing. I need to go back home humbly. I need to say to my Father, I'm not even worthy to be called thy son. Just make me a hired servant. But you know, when he got back, the Father was so glad to see him. He said, put shoes on his feet, representing and showing sonship. Put a ring on his finger, showing sonship. Kill the fatted calf. This my son was lost, but he's found. He was blind, but now he can see. Many of God's children, their eyesight goes down here in this life. When the Lord blessed the old-aged Apostle John in writing the Revelation and sending that letter to the seven churches of Asia, and I believe it was the church at Pergamos. No, it was the church at Laodicea. It was the last one, if I remember correctly. And yes, Laodicea. He told them, anoint thine eyes with the eye salve of the gospel, with the eye salve of the scripture, with the eye salve, amen, of wisdom, with the eye salve of God's law. That's what he's talking about. Anoint thine eyes with the eye salve. Their eyes have gone dim. Talking about their spiritual eyes, not their natural eyes, not their natural sight. But they had lost sight in their spiritual eyes. They were not seeing and perceiving and walking and seeing circumspectly, seeing around them. And you know, that's what the apostle admonished the Ephesians, to walk in such a way that they were viewing, looking around them from and seeing circumspectly. You know, and that's from the same word. You get the Greek word where the word specs, glasses, comes from, specs. And we need the eye save of the gospel. And that's all in this. This all plays in here together. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. In that sense right there, he's saying, wisdom is the main thing. Wisdom is number one. If we had wisdom number one in our life, everything else would be in perspective. Everything else would fall in place. You know, as a little boy, I would hear a lot of times out from all kind of people out here in the world in speeches and on the 4th of July and things like that. And at other times you'd hear people make the expression of priorities that say God, family, country. I don't hear that like I used to hear it when I was young and so forth. Those priorities. God has to always be first. And I tell you, if God is first in our life, then your companion, your children, it's because the scripture teaches us that if a man doesn't provide for his own, that he is worse than an infidel, that he's denied the faith. So the scripture admonishes us and teaches us that our family is priority. Our country that we live in, and we're admonished to keep the laws of the land as long as they don't conflict with the laws of God.
Right.
Now, I ought to try to, and we ought. That's a command. That's strong. Just as strong as we place emphasis on you ought to wash one another's feet. That means you should do it. All right. We ought to obey the laws of the land. As long as they don't conflict with the laws of God. And as the apostle says, and as they told them there in Acts in those early days, we should obey God rather than obey man when they commanded them not to teach and to preach anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why John was on the Isle of Patmos. He was there because of the testimony of Jesus Christ and for the word of God. He is there because he preached the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Then he's on the Isle of Patmos. So, we understand that magistrates and laws to those that would do good, to those that would obey, they're a blessing. But to those that would err and those that would do evil, they're the minister of justice unto them. And that's the way that it ought to be. We are responsible people. We're responsible preachers. We're responsible living here in this life. We're responsible to God. And we're responsible unto dignitaries and authorities that are over us. And we do pray for them. And sometimes that's hard. And sometimes you want to pray God either save them or kill them. You know. But there again, we've got to get that old man out of the way. You know, and matter of fact, I heard a man of another order and praying one time, and praying for a president that was president several years ago, but is in my lifetime. And in that prayer, he actually said, God either save him or kill him. But that's in God's hand. That's in God's hand. But we pray God's will in all things. And we know that God's suffering a lot of things in this world. God suffered as bad as it was, that got the whole ball rolling, but it continued on another 120 years while the ark was preparing. God continued to suffer evil that he said that the very imagination of their minds and hearts were evil continuously day and night. But God suffered in another 120 years for the ark to be prepared. So we know that God is, in his providential reign, is suffering many, many things that we see. God help us not to add to that misery. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Says it again in that expression. Get it. Get it. Get wisdom. And with all thy getting. Boy, I tell you what, it keeps driving it home fervently. With all thy getting, get understanding. Get understanding. Go back to the focus of Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and 8. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Yeah. Oh, what a blessing. I want you to think about this. It's found in Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. Here Zechariah is prophesying to Israel. He's saying the nations, they spoiled you. God suffered it. God suffered them to spoil Israel in a way of chastisement. All right, this is what's going on. But yet, they did what was in their heart to do. They did what they wanted to do. God simply suffered them to do it. You know, there came the time that Jesus suffered them to put him to death in the flesh. They tried to take him and would have taken him before the time, before his hour was come, before it was the time for him to lay down his life. They put him to death in the context of him laying down his life. But the Bible says that he was put to death in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit, made alive by the Spirit. But he was put to death in the flesh. But it was because it was the will of God. It was the eternal purpose of God. And God suffered it in the temporal sense here to take place. So these nations, they are responsible beings here. And God goes on with this, and that's what he says. For he that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of his eye. God is saying, I'm not going to let them go without judgment. God prophesies through several prophets, even concerning and talking about here. And God goes on with this, and that's what he says. For he that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of his eye. God is saying, I'm not going to let them go without judgment. God prophesies through several prophets, even concerning and talking about the downfall and far as of Babylon. But yet God suffered Babylon to take of his people and to take them into captivity. But yet they were held responsible. The ones that by wicked hands took and crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, they were held responsible. But God suffered them to do it. But he didn't make them do it. They just did what they wanted to do. He just took down the hedge. And they proceeded and did what they wanted to do. But the point here is, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. The center, the focus point of his eye. The prize of his eye. You know, there are many scriptures that talks about the eyes of the Lord and talks about the eyelids and the eyelids tribe of the children of men, so forth and on. These are expressive terms that teaches us of God's oversight, of God's seeing, of God viewing. And this is in the same thing as the gifts and the responsibility that God has given in the gospel church. Whenever the Apostle Paul came to the upper coast of Ephesus, and he called the elders that was at Ephesus, and then he told them several things, and then he told them, said, "Take heed therefore unto yourself and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Overseers. Watchmen. Watchmen. You're to be the apple of my eye. You're to be the apple. You're to be my focus as your pastor. As pastor of Macedonia Church. You, members and friends, are to be the apple of my eye in this context, my focus, my center in that perspective. And I pray, God, that's a grave responsibility, but that the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God,
yes,
which he hath purchased with his own blood. That is a grave responsibility of the pastor teacher to feed, to instruct, to guide with the scriptures, to point out the way, for you to walk in the way, for you to know what those good works of faith are from a scriptural, from an understanding from that particular standpoint. But oh, how much more and how much greater. You see, the God that with just his very words said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Creator God, the God that speaks, the God that says to one dead in trespass and sin, "Live," right, and they live.
That's it.
Oh, what ability that he has, that he will not lose one, not one that he's purposed to save, not one that he, because they're the apple of his eye. They're the focus of his eye. His eye is always upon them. It is so that even he notices a sparrow that falls to the ground, how much more does he notice and know and care for his people?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Then I want to bring in a very familiar verse that's found in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9 and 10. "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him," talking about Jacob, "he found him in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about." Oh, he would instruct him in the way. "He led him about. Thus far the Lord has led me on." Oh, you've heard me say it, and I'll say it again, as the Apostle Paul stood there and said, there in those last chapters of the book of Acts, as he stands before Felix and Festus and King Agrippa and so forth, but he says, "Having obtained help of the Lord, I continue unto this day. The Lord has preserved us and kept us because we're the apple of his eye." Oh, it is his will. Oh, it is his love. It is his goodness. It is his kindness. It's the very streams and the river that flows from beneath the throne of God that comes to us, that waters us, that blesses us. Oh, he led him about. He instructed him. There's that word. He instructed him. As I said, God has given his people from the very start, from Adam all the way through. And we got it all the way through the scriptures, and they're for us. And they're just as real and just as relevant for us today. This instruction, he instructed him. The Lord instructs us. He kept him as the apple. As the apple of his eye, he kept him. Oh, how the Lord keeps us. Oh, the Lord preserved him. I tell you, many times Jacob, in talking about the actual man Jacob, could have been swallowed up in circumstances and situations. Oh, but God blessed him and led him through it all and blessed him. He came through and had the children of his sons and becoming the tribes of Israel and then so forth, and as an old man, even then going down into Egypt. Through all of this, the Lord was with him providentially. The care of the Lord, the oversight of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, having obtained help of the Lord, I continue unto this day. Moses should have been dead. Moses should have been killed by the midwives. But God preserved him. Yeah. God took care of him. He was the apple of God's eye. Amen. He is preserved. He is supposed to have been thrown into the Nile River. He was put into the Nile, but he is put in a basket. Amen. Oh, yes. Thank God. There was a way of escape. There was a way of escape. Oh, and God so blessed that it was even Pharaoh's daughter that had the basket brought into her. And Moses cried at just the right time. Says she heard his voice and she had compassion on him. She had pity upon him. He cried at the right time. You know, he wasn't asleep when he was brought in. He was awake and he cried. God, wasn't none of that by accident. That was God in his providence. God in his taking care of. Let us never forget the providential care of God, the mighty workings of God. We see the mighty workings of God in our life. Thus far the Lord has led us on. Thus far the Lord has kept us. Thus far the Lord has truly preserved us. Why? Because his people are the apple of his eye. And oh, how greater it is, and how we can realize of that in walking and getting wisdom and understanding and walking in a way pleasing to the Lord and not getting into the works of the flesh, but having the fruit of the Spirit and walking and living in the Spirit. Oh, these are things that'll give you life, bless you with life.
Yeah.
Not spiritual life. Not we're talking about as far as the origin of it. Remember, we're talking about that abundant life. That life right here that will even preserve your natural life.
Yeah.
Amen. Keep your eyes on the prize. God bless you this morning is my prayer. We'll stand together. Publish the open door of the church.